Good morning. Good morning. This morning I'm going to flick us around the Bible a bit, if that is a technical term. So you might want to grab a Bible from the back, and I can give you a clue by giving you page numbers as we go to different passages. But I'm not going to be preaching on a particular passage this morning. But we are going to start with one of the stories that I particularly like. Fantastic. We're going to start with looking at John 21, verses 15 to 17, and that's on page 1090. So I'm just going to give you a moment or two to find that, if that's what you want to do. And while you're finding that, just to explain, if you've been around for the last 4 or 5 weeks, whatever, you'll know that we've kind of done a bit of a mashup of our teaching series. So we were in a series called Church Life. Then we stepped outside of that series called Church Life and started our series in John. And this morning, we're stepping back into Church Life, I hope not for the last time, but in terms of teaching, it's the last session, if you like. So we're going to have a quick look at this story where, over a meal of barbecued fish, Jesus helps Peter heal from the shame and the guilt that he was feeling after he'd let Jesus down. Peter denied knowing Jesus the night that Jesus was arrested, tried, and sentenced to death. And Peter felt really bad about that. I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us, but I imagine Peter having sleepless nights. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that was me. I can't believe I got it so wrong. That is how I imagine Peter to be when this story is written, feeling wretched on the inside. So let's look at verse 15. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This morning, we're going to talk about pastoral care. And I think there is something in this story that is the most perfect example of pastoral care. It is such a powerful pastoral encounter. It's breakfast time, and Peter's hungry, and Jesus cooks Peter breakfast. He tends to a very practical need. Peter's heart is hurting, and Jesus tends to this spiritual need. And through the conversation that takes place, Peter is given a fresh hope and a fresh sense of direction. It is the most beautiful pastoral encounter. Some of us might be feeling like Peter today. And so I'm going to pause for a moment and I'm just going to pray in case you are feeling like the Peter before that breakfast of fish. So let's pause. Jesus, would you come alongside us in our grieving, in our remembering, in our challenging circumstances? Would you come alongside us where we're hurting or struggling with our faith? Jesus, this morning, right here and right now, would you tend to our needs? Would you give us fresh hope and direction? Amen. There's part of me that would quite like to sit down now. But I have got a few more things that I've prepared to say. So I've got lots of time because the clock's still saying we haven't started yet. The story's beautiful because we see Jesus coming alongside Peter when he wasn't in the best of places. We need Jesus, but we need one another as well. How can we model a Jesus kind of pastoral care? And whose job is it to offer pastoral care? Well, about a year and a half ago, I put together a pastoral strategy team. Doesn't that sound grand? A bunch of us got together and we asked those kind of questions and a whole load of others as well. And I want to talk this morning about how pastoral care does and is going to work in TBC. That's a statement of faith, isn't it? Let's start with that question. What does it mean to care for a church family? We as a team defined pastoral care. We said the purpose of pastoral care is to create a sense of community togetherness. Did I say that right? Community togetherness, which transforms lives and promotes spiritual and emotional and physical and practical well-being and growth. Pastoral care welcomes, it listens to, it dignifies, it prays for, it helps, it encourages and builds relationship with one another, and it cares for one another as we grow together in Christ-likeness. It's a whole church responsibility. So the first thing I want to suggest is that pastoral care is something holistic. It supports our practical needs as well as our spiritual needs as well as our emotional ones. If you want to turn to James chapter 2, he writes this. Here we are. So James chapter 2, you'll find me on page 1215. I'm just going to read verses 14 to 17. No, I'm on James 2. That makes more sense. Good verses, the other ones, but the ones I actually want are in James 2. Apologies if you're flicking through on your phone. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. What if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs? What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. So pastoral care recognises what the needs are and seeks to attend these. Back to that definition, the purpose of pastoral care is to create a sense of community togetherness which transforms lives and promotes spiritual, emotional, physical and practical well-being and growth. Pastoral care welcomes, listens to, dignifies, prays for, helps, encourages, builds relationship with and cares for one another as we grow together in Christ-likeness. It is a whole church responsibility. And I want to pick up on that last sentence. It is a whole church responsibility. If we were to flick to Ephesians 4, which is, I have got a head start on you in as much that I've tried to put little markers in my Bible. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. Paul writes, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Did I give you a page number? I didn't, did I? I failed. I just catch Paul's face sometimes. It was on page 1175. If you want to find it, do, because I might come back to that a little later on. These verses are absolutely crucial as we reflect on how church leaders prioritise their time. Our role as church leaders is to equip the whole church family for ministry. I love the way these verses are written in the Message paraphrase. It says, "He handed out gifts," that is God, "He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist and pastor teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive in Christ." It reminds us that we're in this together, we're in this together. We might have different experiences and maybe we're trained differently, but we're all called to care. It's not just the job of the leaders to do this. We're all called to draw alongside one another. Paul reiterates this when writing to the church in Corinth. He describes the church like a body. God has put the body together so there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you're the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. So who carries out pastoral care? I think I saw you mouthing it, Enid. We all do. We're in this together. The purpose of pastoral care is to create a sense of community togetherness, which transforms lives and promotes spiritual, emotional, physical, and practical well-being and growth. I'm not going to test you on this at the end of the service, but there is a leaflet you could pick up, and that's got it's got these words in it. Pastoral care welcomes, listens to, dignifies, prays for, helps, encourages, builds relationship with, and cares for one another as we grow together in Christ-likeness. It is a whole church responsibility. So the next thing I want to draw out of that definition is that pastoral care is structured. Whilst we've all got responsibility for pastoral care, it's helpful to have a bit of structure around it. For that reason, we've appointed small groups, house groups, home groups, call them what you will. They are those midweek groups when we gather together, each in homes, occasionally here, and we watch out for one another as we pray together and study the Bible together. Our small groups are central to pastoral care. And keeping to that call that this is an everybody thing, you heard me correctly. I said small groups, and I didn't say small group leaders. Yeah. So it's the responsibility of all of us in the group to care for one another. The small group leader will watch over the group, but they won't carry out all the pastoral care. The writer of the book of Hebrews addresses the whole church family when in chapter 10 they write this. Let me see if I can find Hebrews. Whoops, I'm going back that way. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, I believe. And that's on page 1208. This is such an important verse. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Did you hear? Let us all encourage one another as we grow in Christ-likeness. Again, I love the way it's written in the Message. In response to all he's done for us, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good. We don't want to have a really competitive spirit, but if it's a competitive spirit on how kind and how wonderful we can be to each other, that's not a bad thing, is it at all? You might not be able to be part of a small group on a regular basis because time and work and circumstances might not allow you to do that. But I would encourage you to still be attached to a small group so that they can watch over and care for you. And if you are not part of a small group, would you see me at the end of the service? Not for something bad, but for something good. I'd love to attach you to a group. Be great if you can attend, but if you can't, that group will endeavour to get to know you and watch out for you. If pastoral care is our collective responsibility, we need to be equipped. So when you've received an email from me saying, would you like to come along to some pastoral training? I haven't got it wrong, not this time. I've intended to invite you, because it's not just the responsibility of a small team, but it's our collective responsibility. You're invited because we're all called to care. But I recognise, and the team recognise, that there are some pastoral situations that go beyond the experience or the capacity of a small group. And so we're appointing some specialists who can help. A pastoral care team for those who are unable to attend church regularly, so we can go to those who are more homebound, housebound. We have Dee, who is our mental health navigator. She will not be doing all of the mental health care, but signposting and helping small group leaders to know how to care for those in their group. We've got Chris Dyer, who will organise meals when a small group maybe can't accommodate that. And David Goodall, who is a practical needs coordinator, who hopefully when we've got some small little practical thing that needs to be done, like we've got a light bulb that needs changing, but our doctor has told us we're not allowed to stand on a chair or a ladder, he might be able to find someone to help. And these kind of practical helps will happen during seasons of crisis or change. The purpose of pastoral care is to create a sense of community togetherness which transforms lives and promotes spiritual and emotional and physical and practical well-being and growth. Pastoral care welcomes, it listens to, it dignifies, it prays for, it helps, it encourages, it builds relationship with and cares for one another as we grow together in Christ-likeness. It's a whole church responsibility. Pastoral care has to be accountable. As well as having a structure in place, it's crucial that there's accountability. We respect confidentiality, but secrecy is really dangerous in a church setting. why we're supporting someone pastorally is between the person being supported and the person that is doing the supporting. However, visibility of something taking place is really important. It helps develop safe boundaries and it guards against inappropriate behaviours which might stray into ungodly or even harmful activities between individuals or groups of people. And so for this reason, we've introduced a new button on our hub. Who has ever been to the hub on the front of our church webpage? Please, no shame for those of you that didn't. I saw a head hung in shame. No shame at all. But if you have, you might notice there's a new button on there. And it says something like pastoral record or pastoral care record. I should have double checked it out before I did this, shouldn't I? But it's for recording either when you have been offered some pastoral care and you can say so-and-so met up with me on this date between these times, or it's for somebody that has offered pastoral care to somebody else. I met so-and-so on this date at this time. And we'll ask for a where. You will see nothing on that form that says why, because that's between two people. But the visibility of that happening helps us set good boundaries, safe boundaries. It keeps the church one that believes in transparency and not secrecy. And the kind of things that you might record will be when there's been a meeting between two people in the same small group, but you wouldn't meet if you weren't in the same small group. In other words, you're not kind of close friends. The relationship is around small groups. It might be because you're meeting up because somebody's struggling with something that's going on in their life. And there, we don't use the word vulnerable, but I'm going to use the word vulnerable. We're a bit vulnerable. You know, if I'm honest, I'm a bit wobbly today. It's Mother's Day, and many of us will be wobbly because it's Mother's Day. We're vulnerable sometimes, all the time, but sometimes. And when we have a pastoral visit, because we're wobbly, or something's happened, then we're not at our strongest place to recognise something that might be helpful or unhelpful, and so we would record that visit. We might record it if we're taking somebody in our car somewhere, because there is an element of two people together in the same place. And there is a third reason why you might, and I've lost it. Oh, very definitely if one person is being visited and the other is the visitor. Yeah, they're the kind of times that we would ask you to record that pastoral encounter. It creates a transparency around what we are doing, but we do not ask why. And if you've never visited the church website, because websites terrify you, we've got paper forms instead. All right. So back to that definition. The purpose of pastoral care is to create a sense of community togetherness which transform lives and promote spiritual, emotional, physical and practical well-being and growth. Pastoral care welcomes, it listens to, it dignifies, it prays for, it helps, it encourages, it builds relationship with and cares for one another as we grow together in Christ-likeness. It's a whole church responsibility. And so the last thing I want to pick up on in our pastoral care definition is the fact that biblical pastoral care produces change and transformation. Pastoral care is discipleship. Good pastoral care is discipleship. Yeah? Because good pastoral care leads to change and transformation. The Bible does not call us to be nice. That is not permission to be nasty. But the Bible doesn't invite us or call us to be nice. It calls us to be kind. And one of the kindest things we can do for anyone is to help them grow in their love for Jesus and their ability to reflect him in their life. Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, I said I would come back to that. Whoops. I've lost my place now, so I can't tell you the page, but hopefully you've got your finger in that. Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, says that we are to equip one another to build the church. And in verse 13, it says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. One of the kindest things we can do is help somebody grow in their faith. And we see that in the story that we started with this morning. Yes, Jesus cooks Peter breakfast, but that is not the main thing, is it? The main thing is that Peter is healed on the inside from his shame and from his guilt. And then Peter is encouraged to step out and be used fantastically by God as God starts to build the church of which we are part of today. And so some of the most powerful questions we can ask when we're meeting with a Christian brother or sister, friend, might be, Paul, where do you see God at work in all of this situation you've just shared with me? Yeah? Pointing somebody to God. Liz, it's only because you're sitting on the front row. Are you talking to Jesus and inviting him in to this situation? You know, it's such a powerful question, isn't it? Sarah, how does the Bible offer insight to where you are at the moment? Yeah, we're calling on God. And Cheryl, is the Holy Spirit prompting you to take some next steps? These are just for illustration purposes. I am not claiming any divine insight in any of the lives of those that I've just picked on. They were unfortunate they're on the front row and I didn't have a fifth question, Katie. So I'm really sorry about that. You hear the power of those questions. More powerful than, how are you doing? I'll pray for you. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for one another. But asking those questions that help us grow in our faith until we are fully mature, until we sense and know without a shadow of a doubt we are walking in the direction of Christ-likeness. There is nothing kinder than inviting somebody to explore a solution that is found in Jesus. One of the reasons why Liz was whispering at me a moment or two ago was I was just jotting something down in my journal because I didn't want to miss something that was going on in the service for me personally. It is a gift. It is a gift when God challenges, speaks into, and we are called to be part of his work, partnering with him here on earth. Jesus invites us to move from guilty to receiving forgiveness. Jesus invites us to shift from feeling ashamed into a new place of freedom. Jesus, when he was talking to Peter, reinstates his calling from fisherman to somebody who will establish the church. Discipling pastoral care is not about being nice only. It's about being kind. It's journeying alongside one another as we learn from Jesus together. So it includes tending to practical needs and emotional needs, but biblical pastoral care is actually about caring for somebody's heart and caring about somebody's soul. And that means we sometimes need to ask brave questions. So I'm going to pray for us before Paul comes and leads us. Lord, would you give us courage to be brave? Lord, would you give us courage to see you as always being the answer to the circumstances we're in, and then having friends around us to help us keep on seeing you, Jesus. Help us to understand pastoral care. Help us to be part of the pastoral care in this place. Help us to be like you, Jesus, on that beach over fish and transforming Peter's life. Amen.